In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us begin this morning service in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, again as we have come to this place, you know those things that we need to hear. So we ask of thee that you would be with us through your Spirit, that you would guide our speech and you would open your word, and you would open our hearts to receive those words that can give us strength to continue onward towards the destination there in heaven. We pray on behalf of those that are experiencing trials of this temporal life, that you would give them this knowledge and this assurance that you know about their situation, and that you have promised to help your children all the way to the end of this life. We pray on behalf of those that are this day wandering in the darkness of sin and unbelief. We ask that your light could continue to shine so brightly here in this dark world that man might notice that your kingdom is still here. And it's still calling and still inviting men unto repentance. And we yet say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This morning we will read from God's holy word from the second book of Kings. We will read from the fifth chapter, the first 15 verses. And when we consider these words this morning, let us consider the theme that has been noted there for our possible consideration during this time of Epiphany. And that theme which is noted for us that we could possibly use is this theme that Jesus awakens faith. And so we will read in Jesus' name from the second book of Kings, the fifth chapter. And the words of God are as follow. Now Naaman, a captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the Lord that is, said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against us, against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought that he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Amen." This portion of God's word, I'm sure to many of us, is a very familiar portion of scriptures. But so it is that the ways of faith are hopefully are very familiar to us. That you haven't come here this morning to hear some new thing, as the intellectual part of man oftentimes wants to hear something new and to be enlightened in some new thing. This period of time that we are living is this time of epiphany, and the word epiphany in itself means that you were enlightened, maybe, or that you were given some revelation of some matter. And when I say that I hope that you haven't come here to hear something new, maybe it is that there is somebody here that has not been of the household of faith. And maybe it is to you that the Word of God is as something new. And for that, we can say that that would be good. But for those of us that believe, that God's Word does not change, and it will never change. But so it is that this portion is, we have read from the Old Testament this morning. And the theme speaks unto us of Jesus awakens faith. And so we would realize in a historical point of view that we are reading from the scriptures when before Jesus was here upon the earth. But we know that the Old Testament believers also had faith in the Lord Christ, the Lord Jesus. We remember that their faith was based on that promise of God already there when God removed the Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. And he had promised unto them that he would send a Savior into this world to redeem them from their sin. And God, piece by piece, revealed in more broadly through the prophets of the Old Testament time many specific things about the work of Jesus. But nonetheless, the believers of the Old Testament lived by faith. And Jesus is the one that awakens faith. One of the themes from a few Sundays ago was that Jesus came into this world, the Word became flesh, was the theme. And I was speaking to one brother after services, and he was speaking about this, that when we consider that the Word became flesh, that the Word was already with God there, and with Jesus already before this world began. But God sent Jesus there in a visible form, and the Word became flesh. And so when you read God's Word, that it would be good that we could consider that the words of God are also the words of the Lord Jesus, even as that we know that God is it's three portions to God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three portions do not disagree with each other, but they're always in unity and harmony together. But this portion of God's Word speaks to us about a man of Syria, so he would have been a Gentile person. He would have been in the Old Testament time, but he would not have been of the nation of Israel. And we can read in God's Word the nature of this man, that he was honorable and a man of valor, or how does it say it here? It says, now Naaman, a captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. So he had a personality like any one of us. He was made in the way that God had made him. But he was, the beginning of this portion of scriptures, he was not yet a believer. And so we can see from God's Word that it is not how honorable or how great a man a person is that determines whether we are a believer or not a believer. But we also know as God's children that when we believe, that we also live the way we believe. We don't just come to church on Sunday morning and listen to God's word and then go on Sunday afternoon and act like whatever we want to act like. For I would say that if that is the portion of your heart or what is in the heart, then there's matters that need to be cared for there in the conscience. Because God's Spirit does not lead us into those ways of life. God's Spirit always leads us in ways that are in harmony and they fit so perfectly with His Word. But because we are flesh and blood, oftentimes and we fall into sin. But we don't use that excuse that, you know, I am what I am, so then I can therefore live in sin. When we fall into sin, even as we spoke this morning in Sunday school, the children always recite there at the beginning of Sunday school that prayer that's written in the songbook, and I can't remember exactly that whole prayer, but it speaks to us in this way that it says that, maybe I should read here, but it says something to the effect that if we sin, cause us to repent and confess our sins. I'm not certain where in the songbook that's written, but we all know that. Most of us have been to Sunday school, and we've said that prayer many times. And so that's how we believe. We know that we are saved by faith in our loving and gracious Heavenly Father. And we can say that it certainly takes, at least when I consider my own portion, that it certainly takes much grace to love a man as I. And only God can have such grace that He can love me. And I'm very grateful for it, and I'm sure you are as well. But we know that sin, committed sin, destroys that faith that we have in God. That faith that we have in a loving and gracious Heavenly Father. And so we have been taught and we have felt and we have been reassured so oftentimes when matters of sin are weighing on the conscience, that when you put those matters away, you feel the love and the grace of God and how it gives you strength to battle onward. Causes peace and freedom and joy. And all the negative things that have been there are washed away. But so it was that our text says that Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. So we can see that he was honorable and he was a great man. But the Bible says here, even though he was not a believer at this point in time, he says, by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. So we can see that God's ways they're above all ways. There's nothing that happens here in this world, in this life, that God doesn't know of. And God allows nations to rise and to fall for His will and His purpose, and of which we have so small understanding. But that's okay. We're not saved by our understanding. Or is that how you believe? Do you feel that you're saved because you understand so much? I'm glad that my salvation is not based on anything that's here, but it's based on faith and trust and a perfect God and a perfect Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. And I'm sanctified by God's Spirit. That's what makes me acceptable to God. It's not our understanding that makes us acceptable to God. We can have perfect understanding and not be a man of faith. Faith is above all. Without faith, there's no hope. The Spirit of God gives us hope, and it gives life to faith. And so this man of which we have read in our text, Naaman, he was a Syrian. And he was a great man, and he had much power, and he was honorable. But he had leprosy. And God had even in his battles had given much territory and things to the land of Syria, even though he was not a believer. And the Bible says, and the Syrians had gone out by company and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So apparently, reading from God's word, that the Syrians even came there to the land of Israel and battled against the children of Israel. And they took, in this instance, they took this little girl. I don't know how old she was. Maybe some of you young youth here this morning, maybe the same age as you, I don't know. And maybe in this battle, the parents of this young maid, maybe they were killed. I don't know, but this young girl, she ended up in the land of Syria. If that was you, and your land ended up in the land of Syria, would you want to hold on to your faith? Or would you just, you know, what's the use? There's so few believers around here that maybe it'd be easier to just go into the world. But there's no hope there. She held on to the faith. She lived by that faith. And so she served this Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. So this little girl, this young girl, maybe a youth, I don't know how old she was, and I don't know how long she had been there in the land of Israel, or in the land of Syria, I should say. But Naaman got this disease, this dreaded disease of leprosy, which we don't have much in today's day and age. There's the disease of leprosy has kind of been eradicated through vaccinations and whatever else, I suppose. So we don't see much of it in today's day and age. But the disease was so dreaded that oftentimes it resulted in the death of those that contracted that disease. And the Bible says that their skin would turn white and become scabby, and eventually fingers would fall off and toes would fall off, and eventually, oftentimes, it would take their life. And so this is the disease that Naaman ended up getting. And so this little girl was there, and this young girl, maybe we should say, told Naaman's wife that, you know, if Naaman was there in the land of Samaria, Samaria would have been another term for Israel at this time. But there was a man of God there. And if he would go there, this man of God could heal him of this leprosy. Apparently she had, in her young days, had witnessed some of the miracles that this man of God, which is referred to here as Elisha, God had done much marvelous works through him. And it was, obviously, we know that it was through God, even as God did his work through Naaman. And God does his work through you, dear brothers and sisters. It's God that does the work. It's not like we just think that we just don't need to do any work. God has chosen you and he's called you into this work. And it is God that does that work through you. So she told Naaman's wife that this man in Samaria, he would recover him of his leprosy. And so one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. So Naaman was, I would guess, probably second in command or very high ranking official in that Syrian government. And the king of Syria had much favor for Naaman. And when he had heard that Naaman wanted to go to see this man in Samaria so he'd be recovered of his leprosy, the king said, "Go, that would be a good thing." And so he wrote a letter to the king of Israel, and then he sent along with Naaman and the host of his chariot and company of, I'm guessing it's probably a military company of some sort that traveled there from Syria to the land of Samaria. And he sent with them 10,000 pieces of gold. I don't know, maybe some of you have gold, but I don't even have one piece of gold, but if I did, I guess I do have a wedding ring, but it has much value. So he thought, to some degree, it must be something that you can purchase, this gift or this healing. Oftentimes when we go to the doctors, there's a bill that comes along with it, and so we got to pay for that, and sometimes it doesn't work too well, but nonetheless, we pay our bills as they come up, and sometimes we think that was kind of a waste of money. But nonetheless, the king of Syria sent the money with 10,000 pieces of gold and 10 talents of silver. I'm not certain how much that is, but it's a lot of money and some changes of raiment, 10 beautiful garments. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." So this king of Syria, I don't know if he just didn't hear properly or not, but when he sent Naaman away, where did he send him to? He sent him to the king of Samaria. That's not what the girl had said. The girl had said to send him to the man of God, the prophet of God. But this man, with his mind, thought if he's going to send him to some great person that's going to take care of him, he's going to send him probably to the highest ranking official there of that land, which would have been the king. So that's where he sent him. So we can see here that even these things of faith, they don't follow the same pathways as our minds follow. But nonetheless, Naaman came there with those treasures. And so it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." So this king of Assyria had been in battle, I'm assuming many times, with this king of these two nations, the king of Samaria and the king of Syria. And now he was getting this letter, and I'm sure that, you know, as they entered into that city of Samaria, this military escort of some sort, I'm sure, you know, people noticed, what's going on here? These Syrians are coming here now. And they stopped there at the temple gate or the castle gate or whatever it was. And so they brought this letter there to the king there in Samaria, who was not a believer, but he was the king of Israel. And so the king became worried that there must be something more to this, that he's seeking some way, some quarrel against me, some way to cause another battle, another fight there. And it was so when Elisha, the man of And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." The king didn't even realize himself, the king of Israel, that this man of God, that God has the ability over all things. That there's certain matters of government and practical matters of ruling our countries and our nations, but when it comes to matters of faith, there's only one place here in this world where the true living God is found. So this prophet Elisha had heard that the king had rent his clothes. And so he said, "Send him to me." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." So Naaman went from the palace there to this house of Elisha. And Elisha sent somebody out to meet them and says, "Go wash in the River Jordan 7 times. But Naaman became wroth, and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." So in his own mind, he must have had some idea what was going to take place as he went from the palace there to this man of this Elisha's house. What was going to take place? He could look at his skin and he could see the leprosy there on his skin. And he gets to Elisha's house and somebody comes out to meet him, and it wasn't even the prophet himself, but it was somebody that related the same message to them. Dear brothers and sisters, when you need strength to battle onward, does it matter who it is that you go to? Do you have to go to a minister? Do you have to go to a board member? Do you have to go to your mother and father? Who is it that has the words that you need to battle onward? The believers do. And so Elisha sent this message to Naaman, somebody else. Just go wash in Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean. This became very upsetting to Naaman. He thought that Elisha would come out there and I don't know what he thought in his own mind, but he probably thought some grand thing was going to take place, and I'm not certain what it was, but nonetheless, maybe in the land of Syria, in their worship service of their god, Rimmon, I think it was the name of their god, maybe they did some fancy things. I'm not certain, but so in his own mind, he thought something great was going to take place, and Elisha just sent some messenger to them to speak the words of God. And this angered Naaman. And he was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." And then he goes on to say, "Are not Abanon and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. So upset at the simple message that he heard from the kingdom of God. It wasn't enough. It wasn't grand enough. And he went away in a rage. So upset that he spent all this time traveling from Syria to Samaria. And this is what he hears. And he went away Minaret. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? So even the people that were with Naaman realized that you're looking for him to do some great thing to the intellectual satisfaction of your mind or your eyes. If he would have told you to do that, or he would have told you, you know, you need to climb Mount Everest and put a flag there at the top, and this is how great a thing that you've done, he probably would have tried. But because he had told him, just go wash in the River Jordan 7 times, you're not going to do that. Naaman realized how the direction he was thinking was not in unity with the words of God, the instruction that comes from God. So he listened to this company that was with him. And he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. I'm not certain why the term 7 is used here, but God had told him through Elisha, go wash 7 times. 7 times oftentimes is used for a picture of completeness. Complete repentance. Maybe he dipped 1 time and he came up and looked at his hands and they were still white and he did it again. And after 6 times maybe he began to doubt, but he still believed. He still washed 7 times. And the Bible says, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Dear brothers and sisters, this gospel that we hear in the kingdom of God has great power. You can wash and be cleaned. We don't need to wash 7 times as Naaman, who was repenting from unbelief, the completeness of sin. But we do fall into sin. And when you do fall into sin, go and wash and be clean. God will give you strength to believe. The strength doesn't come from the act of your confession. But the strength comes through the power of God, through the gospel. And so it is when you fall into sin, you know what those sins are, so we speak about those matters as they come up along the way in the journey. It's kind of like a little child when they fall off their bike and they scrape their knee and then they come running there to the house. And sometimes as a father, I like to joke around with my kids and I'll just kiss their hand or something, and then of course my kids are big now, so they don't do that no more. But so if you kiss their hand, it's like, no, that's not where it hurts right here. It's the same way for caring for our matters of conscience. You know where the hurt is, and you know what the matters are, and so we put those matters away and they're washed and clean. That's how we care for our conscience, dear brothers and sisters. It's not complicated. It's very straightforward. And when you care for your conscience, you have felt it. I have felt it so many times that God has been there through that one that has washed. And I've felt secure again. And I've been given new strength to continue onward towards the the destination there in heaven. And so it was with Naaman. He also experienced that great power of God. He washed there in the River Jordan, and we can say that figuratively, that's a picture to us of the rivers that flow here in the kingdom of God, that we wash our sin and filth away. That's the only place where we can wash sin away. You can't wash sin away in places and rivers of this world, but only in the kingdom of God. And it's not as Naaman had previously thought, that the rivers there in Damascus are much better. They're cleaner, they're purer, than the small winding river there in the land of Israel. But when he heard and he believed and he washed in the River Jordan, then he realized the power of God. There's only one God, is what he realized. And that one God was found there in the nation of Israel, in the land of Israel. And after he was clean and he came out of that river, he looked at his skin, and it was like a child's skin. It was soft and pure. And so what did he do? He returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." So he had realized that, you know, I need to return to this man that had told me these things, and I left in a rage. And he probably thought that he didn't even know that I went there to the River Jordan to wash, because he left in a rage. But he realized, and he thought that, you know, I need to go back to this man of God, this prophet, and explain to him. And he probably thought he had to give some great gift or something to pay for what had happened to him, naturally. And so he came to Elisha with these 10,000 pieces of silver and 10 talents of, or however many it was, lots of gold and silver and 10 raiments of clothing. So he came back to Elisha, and he wanted to give these things to Elisha. And Elisha could not accept them. We as God's children, we don't accept the praise of men. We know and we believe that all honor and glory goes to the Heavenly Father. That we're not believing today because of some great thing that we have done. It is only by grace, only by faith, only through the merit work of the Lord Jesus. But dear brothers and sisters, you can own that peace in your heart this morning that comes by faith. Uplift your hearts to God this morning and believe. Your latest sins, your latest doubts of the journey, you can believe they're all forgiven. In Jesus' name, and hold the atonement blood, and be clean. You can leave from this place as Naaman left there from the land of Samaria, so securely believing. And Elisha told Naaman that he cannot accept those gifts, that the work is God's. The honor and glory go to God. And so it is that we still believe in that same way. Jesus awakens the faith in our hearts. Sometimes we get sleepy. And if something needs to be awakened, it's probably because it had fallen asleep or become complacent or whatever it is. So this morning, dear brothers and sisters, Jesus has come to be with us at our services. And he wants to bless you. Be encouraged. Be emboldened. Be confident. All of your sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. And as Naaman left this place, Elisha didn't accept his gifts, but he says, "What? Then let me take with me some of this earth from this place." He realized that here in the land of Israel was the true God. And he thought that, you know, even this earth, If he could just take some of this earth with him. It reminds me of that the parable of the field when the man had found that treasure there in the field. He wanted to buy that whole field. This is how it is for us, dear brothers and sisters. We want to be partakers of this field, the kingdom of God. For in this field is the Lord Jesus. So be encouraged and emboldened this morning to remain traveling towards the destination there in heaven. We have a secure place where we can dwell. There's no other place where you can hear and be clean. So be clean this morning through the name and blood of the Lord Jesus. And I also this morning, dear brothers and sisters, as so often it is with me, I come to this place with those familiar doubts that would God open his word. But when I leave from this place, I want to leave with no doubt or sin on my heart and conscience. Can I still believe my doubts forgiven? I want to remain traveling towards the destination there in heaven. For I know if I go another way, the destination will be so disappointing. And if there happens to be one this morning that has been traveling on that way that Naaman traveled, that way of sin and unbelief, you too can come here to the services of God's children and be clean. You too, God loves, and he's made a way to heaven for you also. And you too can believe this message this morning that all of your sins, even that great sin of unbelief, believe it forgiven in the name and blood of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.